Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by T.J. Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call T.J.'s team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. The Titans win yesterday 27-3 against Cincinnati. We'll take your thoughts on that all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, we've talked a lot about the offense so far today. Good day for the Titans, particularly in the second quarter where they rolled off 21 points. They open up the second half with a 10-minute, 22-second drive and essentially iced the game away from Joe Burrow and the Bengals. But part of the reason the game was iced away is because Cincinnati couldn't do anything offensively. They had the one drive to begin the game where they marched up and down the field, and I thought, oh boy, this could be one of those games where Joe Burrow and this – offense that's been struggling all year figure things out. And you know, Joe Mixon had some good runs on that opening drive. Other than that, wasn't really much happening for Cincinnati's offense yesterday. Joe Burrow ends up 20 of 30 for 165 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Joe Mixon 14 carries, 67 yards, so 4A to carry, which is a number you don't normally see against the Titans defense. But 3 points allowed on the day, less than 200 yards passing against that Cincinnati team with those players. And I know T. Higgins left the game with a rib injury yesterday. But the Titans pass rush, they were in Joe Burrow's face all day. They end up with 3 sacks. They end up with, nine quarterback hits. And they were just all over Burrow from start to finish yesterday. You know, you look at it, Jeffrey Simmons, I thought, was dominant. He was in the backfield all game. He was causing havoc up the middle. Travis Gibson, who you brought up, nice sack, nice play by him. And it just, I thought, really, the whole defense yesterday, every level of the defense, played really well. And that's the type of response you want to see. Anytime you can hold a team quarterback by Joe Burrow, and I know it's a limited Joe Burrow, but anytime you can hold them to 3 points, that's a massive win for your defense.
Yeah, look, he's not Joe Burrow. Right now, in his current state, I'd say he's a sub-average NFL quarterback because he can't push the ball like he normally does, and he can't do what he's so good at, which is extending plays and even just running. I mean, he's a terrific all-around quarterback, and it's not that. And then Higgins gets hurt. So, you know, those things are realities for the Bengals, and you know, most of the NFL reaction, by the way, will be about what's wrong with the Bengals and the Bengals stink, and oh my gosh, this is, which isn't surprising, but the Titans certainly deserve a lot of credit too. And like you said, Mixon had a little bit of success running between the tackles, but just the tackling was really solid. I thought Azeez Al-Shaair was absolutely all over the field. They blitzed him a fair amount, too. Jet Gibbons he's downfield getting Jamar Chase by the ankles at one point, or else that could have been an explosive pass play. You know, Christian Fulton, guy who had a lot of scrutiny last week, I thought he really responded, too, and just played a solid game at corner.
Yep.
All the way around. They just didn't have any big leagues. I thought Kevin Byard, Hooker almost had a pick six from the end zone on that first drive. He looked really good, I thought. About both safeties, you know, were flying around and on everything. So that's what it's supposed to look like. You know, you have Autry and Simmons in there causing havoc. And then very interesting situation with the outside linebacker crew. Mike Vrabel's a big 3 OLB guy. And all of a sudden, he becomes a 5 OLB guy on a particular Sunday. And it's not like it's – I mean, I think it's combined 5 snaps between Gibson and Caleb Murphy. But interesting. You know, giving him a look, and who knows where it goes from here. That Gibson play was obviously huge.
Huge play by him. And like you said, not something you typically see from the Titans in terms of their usage of the outside linebackers. You know, Ja'Marr Chase – they moved him around again. You know, they threw it to him short. I mean, he ends up averaging 10 a catch, which, like you said, if you're a defense, you'll take that from Ja'Marr Chase and live with kind of the short stuff he was able to do. He broke a couple tackles every now and then, was able to get some yards after the catch. But for the most part, I thought they did a good job of corralling him. They did a great job against Tyler Boyd yesterday. He didn't do much at all. 4 catches, 26 yards. Higgins gets hurt in the game. But really, the story was Burrow, whether it was in part because he couldn't move around all that much, which I think is part of it, but also, like, go back and watch some of the snaps of the Titans in their pass rush and just the pressure they were able to generate yesterday. I thought the Titans front seven whipped that Cincinnati offensive line. And when you can do that, you're going to give yourself a chance to make some plays. They did that yesterday. And outside of that first drive, it wasn't just that they shut him down. Like, Cincinnati, outside of the first drive, really was never even threatening the Titans after that. I mean, it was just total domination on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, as Alex from Montreal points out, Simmons shutting up Ted Karras. There's some intensity there. Simmons and Mixon also got into it a little bit. You know, both got the unsportsmanlikes early in the game, and then both of them wisely didn't get another one. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the – like you said, they drive for that field goal, and then there weren't a ton of three and outs. There were only 2 3 and outs from there, but they had, you know, they had a 7-play drive, 4, 5. I mean, just, you know, 6-play drive. They got 30 yards on that one. I mean, that was their best drive after the initial drive. Was a 6-play, 30-yard drive, which ends in that Gibson, you know, strip and fumble. I mean, that's just total futility. So you have to give a lot of credit to the Titans. Again, it's hard to look at these things beyond your team. So, like last week, people don't want to hear that the Browns may be awesome on defense. And I, you know, this week, you know, I'm not trying to put cold water on this defensive effort. It was very good. It's what it should look like. Yeah. But I mean, the Bengals really do have a problem here with Joe Burrow. I mean, you can see it. I couldn't really tell. You know, you watch on TV, but like watching it live yesterday, the velocity and just his ability to throw it downfield is very limited. But I don't know what they're going to do with this.
It's clear he came back too soon. Like, yeah. He came back too soon. He tried to – he wanted to get ready by week one. And in retrospect, obviously with hindsight being 2020, Cincinnati would have been way better off if he was coming back yesterday against the Titans, right? I mean – if you would have just held him out a few weeks, they'd have been better off. And now you're in a 1-3 hole, and he can't sit. Like, they're just going to have to play him as they move forward here. And I don't know what that's going to look like. The time of possession yesterday, Titans with 34 minutes, 45 seconds of possession. Cincinnati with 25-15. So Titans, good job of holding on to the ball. We've talked about that 10-minute drive. Yards per play, Titans 6.5 yesterday, Cincinnati just 4.1. So they did a really good job. But maybe the story of the game, Titans on third down, 8 of 13 offensively. Cincinnati, 2 of 9. Titans did a great job on third down defensively yesterday.
And the Bengals' first conversion on third down came with about 9 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's so much of what it's about. You know, red zone, I mean, the Bengals got there one time, but they stopped them. And the Titans getting it done in the red zone. And by the way, I referred to those numbers. I actually have them up now, too. So, yeah, the Titans now at home, they're 14 of 27 on third down, 52%. They're 62.5%. They're 5 for 8 in the red zone. And, of course, on the road, 0, 0 for 5 red zone. And they're 4 for 24 on third down on the road.
Jeez.
So, they go out this week and stink it up in Indy. I guess, you know, they're just the home road. There are some home road teams like that. You see it more like the difference more like in college football, you know. It shouldn't be like that in this league. But I suspect it'll even out and won't be that all year long.
Now, that was the Titans defense, though, yesterday that we thought we were going to see this year. And look, the 3 points part of it aside, because, I mean, holding an NFL offense to 3 points is just really difficult to do. But just the complimentary way in which they – like, I agree. I thought the safeties played great yesterday. The pass rush obviously was all over Burrow. And really, like, the question with the defense is the same I have with the offense moving forward, which is the real version, right? Like, what is the real version of this Titans team? They were as bad as it gets 2 weeks ago against Cleveland, or last week against Cleveland. And yesterday, I said it, I don't know how they play much better than they did yesterday. I mean, it was just a really efficient performance offensively. They were dominant defensively. You win the game by 24 points. So you're talking about two pretty big extremes in the span of 2 weeks of how bad they could be versus how good they could be. And the question I have moving forward, if I'm a Titans fan, is, all right, well, what does this all mean? Like, which version of the Titans are they?
Yeah, and it's fair. You know, one big thing coming out of yesterday, as far as I know, I saw no one getting hurt.
Yep.
So, you know, the offensive line, I think this is part of why I don't think you're going to see, like, wholesale changes or anything at this point until it's really the hand is forced. So important to build that chemistry and be able to have those guys playing together week after week. And the secondary is very veteran. I mean, SMB is the only new member, but still, it should help you to be able to go week to week with the same guys back there. Maybe we saw a little bit of that this week. I thought it was going to be a big deal, you know, last week to get Fulton and Hooker back, and we saw how it went. There were some big mistakes back there, but yesterday just looked like a really solid secondary to go with a really fierce pass rush, which is what we thought going into the year. That was the way this team was going to be good. Start there.
Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Wednesday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders kick off at 7 o'clock at home against Jacksonville State. Pregame beginning at 5:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. Which version of the Titans are we going to see moving forward? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. DraftKings Sports and Social, the most epic sports watching experience in town, is opening downtown on 2nd Avenue this Thursday, and Stillman & Company will be broadcasting live on location from 2 to 6 p.m. DraftKings Sports and Social features a massive, state-of-the-art 33-foot LED screen, their world-famous menu, and signature curated cocktails. That's this Thursday, the grand opening of DraftKings Sports and Social downtown on 2nd Avenue. Titans win yesterday 27-3. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, who's the next offensive coordinator? You know Kelly's going to take a head coaching gig after this season.
Isn't that amazing? No matter what, you know, if you're an OC in this league, every week it's like you got to be fired, which somebody has texted that in today too. You know, fire Tim Kelly.
Yes.
That makes sense. I think it's Michael who's, I don't know, Michael has some sort
Mike
of,
has some sort of vendetta against
yeah,
Tim Kelly.
Kim Kelly. But it's either you're about to be fired or, who's going to steal away this OC? So there you go. Hey. More days like yesterday, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think Tim Kelly will be a head coach this league. And more days like yesterday, I mean, there is nothing more enticing to an NFL owner right now than the whiz kid young OC, right? The Lions are going to lose their guy, so stop tormenting your Packers.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Sorry about that. Sorry to bring that up.
It was bad. Ben on the text line says, I think we'll be somewhere in between the Cleveland and Cincinnati game. Defense gives up another couple touchdowns per game. Offense will score one less touchdown per game. That's from Ben on the text line. I have no doubt that they will be somewhere between the Cleveland and Cincinnati game for the most part as they move forward. Question is, which one are they closer to? Like, are they closer to the Cleveland game? Or are they closer to the Cincinnati game, right? I mean, that's what it's going to be. I mean, the Colts game, I will say, it'd be pretty interesting to see how that goes. Anthony Richardson, you know, they were dead in the water yesterday. They come back and force overtime. They end up losing to the Rams. But Richardson making some good plays in that game. By the way, Houston slaughtering Pittsburgh yesterday. C.J. Stroud looked great.
Tell you what.
Jacksonville responds with a win.
Interesting division it is.
It really is.
I have no idea. I mean, C.J. Stroud looks legitimately good.
He does. I mean, he looks – you can make an argument, C.J. Stroud, and I don't even know if it's an argument. He's been the best quarterback in the division so far through four games. Now, you know, Jacksonville gets things figured out yesterday. They look pretty good. Is that going to be what they are moving forward here? Titans obviously looked good yesterday too. So, you know, I'm not saying C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback in the division. He's just played really well so far. So
certainly the best rookie.
The Colts game, like, it's not a – I think a lot of – you looked at the Colts on paper heading into the year. You looked at the Texans on paper heading into the year, and you thought, okay, well, that's four gimmies right there for the Titans and the Jags. And I just don't know that's – I mean, it's not going to be the case. I mean, obviously, Houston's already beaten Jacksonville, and the Colts played well against the Jags. They got the Jags coming up again here in a couple of weeks. But it's an interesting division, and the Titans, they're going to need to look more like the Cincinnati game if they're going to beat the Colts on the road, which if you'd told me that heading into the season, I would have thought that would have been a fairly easy win for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's I thought Houston was just going to be bad this year. And I don't think they're bad.
No.
I mean, how many teams in this league are true, like someone's saying it's a week to week league. It is absolutely, it's a cliche, and it's absolutely true. It is so week to week. I mean, I think tonight, if the I think it'll be 15 teams at 2-2, if the Giants beat win. Seattle, yeah. I think that right. I think that's, you know, so and that, well, how many undefeateds? How many, like, you got the Eagles and Niners only undefeateds. Who's bad? I mean, we know the Bears trash.
Are terrible. The Panthers are bad.
What a beautiful, yeah, the top two picks for the Bears. There you go, and the Broncos I still think are pretty freaking bad.
Agreed.
Great comeback. The rest of this league, yeah. And even those teams can get you on a given week. Like a texter says, last week, fire Vrabel. He should be in the hot seat. This week, Vrabel's great. Tim Kelly looking good. Yes. But all we can do is react to what just happened. Jackson says, try to tell everyone this guy was not falling last week. NFL so week to week, each week brand new. How many times have Titans won games like yesterday when everyone writes them off? Lots of times. I feel like with Vrabel in particular – yeah, there's just been so many, like, boy, it just doesn't look good for these guys coming off last week. But also with Vrabel, there's been, ooh, boy, they're looking good. And then they go play Zach Wilson or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Tyrod Taylor or whatever and lose that game. So it's interesting. Both things happen quite a bit under Vrabel.
Well, you know, we've talked about this path that the Titans have in front of them before the bye week comes about, where you've got the Colts, the Ravens in London. And then you've got that week off before, you know, on paper, schedule gets a little softer. You look at it now, though, like the Falcons aren't good, but they're not terrible either.
Their QB's a problem.
No question about that.
They want Tannehill. They're not going to get him now.
The Steelers, I don't know what to think about them. I mean, they got crushed yesterday by Houston, and they've got T.J. Watt, and you're going on the road on Thursday night to play them if you're the Titans.
So I think that they're going to be a good version of the Steelers.
Probably so.
You know?
But the Bucs look pretty good, even with Baker at quarterback. Then you got the Jags. Panthers are trash. But the Colts again, the Dolphins, the Texans who don't look bad, the Seahawks aren't bad. Like, the schedule.
It always looks different after a few
weeks. Always looks a little different. Yeah. And it looks a little bit more challenging after the bye week than maybe we thought for the Titans heading into the year.
But I'm still sticking with, if the Titans get to 3-3, it's this week.
Agreed.
Win this game, you got to do it. I mean, you have to. You're still better than that team. This is still a team. This is not a year the Colts should contend for the playoffs of the division. So, get to 3-3, and I still really like the Titans' chances to be there until the end. I really do. But yeah, the Texans are a big wild card here. I haven't watched enough of them yet, but they're not. I think they've got something.
Well, they got some quarterback for sure. I mean, some of the throws he's making are just high level throws. It's not like people running around wide open out there. He's making some great throws. Maddie on the text line: September football is like a teenage girl's emotions. Last week the season was over for three of our four division teams. This week we have multiple rookie of the year candidates and potentially multiple playoff teams. I freaking love the NFL. This from Maddie on the text line.
It is something, isn't it?
It is.
I'm not sure that it ends. Does it? I mean, there's still going to be some wackiness this month, too, I bet.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, again, this division, we just kind of went through that. But, like, even just looking around the league, you know, who's bad, who's not? I mean, the Cardinals, I think, are bad. and they just beat the Cowboys last week.
Right.
And the Cowboys just dusted Mac Jones, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots.
That was my lock, by the way.
Yeah, I had a bad week.
I had a good week, I think.
I was 1-5.
Oh! Uh-oh. Ooh, my. Okay.
Not good.
I like the sounds of that.
By the way, I like Buffalo after the first week of Josh Allen turning the ball over left and right. They put up 48 on Miami yesterday. They're 3-1, and they look like they might be the best team in the AFC.
I had that going on the phone during the game, and for a while I was like, this is exactly what I was hoping for, just back and forth. But then, yeah. Yeah, let's single cover Stephon Diggs. That's an interesting move in that game. This looked like that was happening way too much, but I agree. Josh Allen has rebounded. They're a good team. They're a very good team. I still think the Dolphins are too, by the way.
I do too.
But
couldn't tackle anybody yesterday.
A little humbling moment for them.
Ben from Nashville on the text line says, I was cracking up at Tim Kelly, man. He did with play action what a fan would do if they were calling the plays. Titans fans who never played football in their lives just want play action for the past 2 years. And Tim Kelly said, F it, let's do it on repeat. That's from Ben from Nashville on the text line. We talked about that.
A lot of
play action in a row for the Titans yesterday. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Well, especially, you hit the Hopkins shot and then you go boom, boom, play action. 38, 24, 13, chunk, 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 touchdown. That was a kind of a little bit of a slap in the face. Wake everybody up. And then you look at, like I said, so home road, but the point is in the two good games, wherever they are, the two good games, they have, 11 more plays and they're almost doubling their yards per play.
Right.
Vrabel says this every week. If you can actually sustain drives and get some first downs, then you get into your plan. You get into some of your special stuff you have. If you don't ever have the ball, you keep going 3-and-out, can't block anyone, can't do anything, then I'm sure there were some awesome plays that never got run at Cleveland.
They were so close to connecting on that flea flicker, like the little throwback play yesterday. I thought it was a perfect time to dial it up, and they missed
that was
it
nice.
By like 4 centimeters. Is that a drop or is it an overthrow? What do you think?
I don't think I can put a drop on it. He got his hands on it, but it was a little bit of an overthrow. I think I put it a little bit more overthrow than drop. Maybe because also it's DeAndre Hopkins, so he doesn't drop passes.
He doesn't.
As far as I know.
Now, they were talking on the broadcast about like the hand size that he has. Biggest hands in the NFL. Just close enough. But
that was a nice play.
It was a nice play?
It was. There was a lot of stuff yesterday that was, again, fun, creativity, but also like, the foundation was minded. He minded the foundation.
Yep.
You got to get Henry enough carries, and those 2 and 3 yarders can still be effective and can still help you. And I thought it was a great balance of the two things.
What do you think of Wiley yesterday? Obviously he catches the touchdown from Henry, but he also has the kind of the big play over the middle there for the first down to set up. I think that was his first catch that he had. The numbers don't blow you away. He ended up with, I think, 2 catches, 26 yards with a touchdown. But good to see him on the field and contributing because we hadn't seen much of that so far.
No, there's been nothing to go on. So it's a good sign. I think Wesco has struggled more than they've hoped. And, you go back to the Cleveland game. Like I said last week, the tight ends were part of that, part of those failures too. PK last week, advocating for Thomas Odukoya to maybe get the call-up, which is a 3-week process.
Yep.
But Wiley turning into a guy who can help them would definitely be a big thing. Like I said earlier, Chig, he's still trying to work it out as a blocker and all that stuff. Made a couple physical catches in traffic, and they needed that because he can do a lot more for this offense.
Andrew on the text line says, I'm happy about yesterday because we finally look like a team that will punch the other team in the mouth. We look so soft for the first 3 weeks, even in the Chargers game. Mr. Manger on the text line.
I don't know about soft. I mean, soft is a heavy soft is a heavy word.
It is.
But I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the physicality, the fight. I mean, it's like Simmons is going to bring that every week. Henry's going to bring that every week. This team has some physicality, but I think a little bit more. I think the Bengals probably brought that out of them a little bit, and they're sick of losing to those guys.
Yep.
A guy like Karras, quickly pisses you off if you're playing against him.
He does.
But I think there's something to that. I think this week there's probably going to be something to that, too.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next, more of your thoughts to get to. The Rob Rant coming up at 745. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Make sure you join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 5 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How much you're hoping to point to your guys that this is how good we can do play if we play all three phases like that?
Well, that's what we try to do, and next week will be a different challenge going on the road in the division. But that's obviously what we're trying to do is play complementary, feed off each other, fuel each other, have a level of speed and violence to our actions. You know, I thought there were some good extra efforts, guys blocking down the field. Nick makes a nice play. Then he blocks for Derek, and things come around. Hop comes up huge, and we missed him there early on. But again, when we need a conversion or we need a play, and I know that, he's been there for us. So we got everybody involved.
As Mike Vrabel yesterday, the Titans win 27-3 against Cincinnati. They improved to 2-2 on the season. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. I did enjoy the Spears play yesterday where he drops the ball in the backfield, picks it up, and you turn around and Ryan Tannehill's lead blocking for him as he's running down the field. Good form by Tannehill. He almost got almost too good. Like, he almost got a block in the back, but he narrowly.
Yeah, he did
it.
Give a little shove. But, yeah, he gave him a little extra yardage there on that play. On the Hopkins play, someone texted that they thought he tripped at the one-yard line. I don't know about that, but TD texted me, and he said this yesterday. He's like, I think he lost it in the sun. And apparently Hopkins told TD after the game, yes, he lost it in the sun. So there's the one criticism I have of Tim Kelly.
I know what the sun is, man.
Yeah, man. You're going to run that play. You either got to run it when you're going the other way, or you got to do it a different time of day when the sun's not getting somebody's eyes. No head coaching gig for you. You're fired.
One more thing that you won't have to worry about when the new stadium's built. Sun's not going to get in anybody's eyes when it's indoors.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Great. I like the idea. Yeah.
Great stuff. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. 615-737-1025, our phone number. I thought Tannehill didn't do anything overly special yesterday. I just thought he was really solid. 18-25, 240 yards, a touchdown. The one pick when the game was over with at that point that was basically an arm punt. It was like punting the ball down the other side of the field. Wasn't great on that play. Other than that, I thought he was decisive. He was really accurate for the most part with his throws. There were different the broadcast was talking about this. He threw from some different arm angles yesterday. There was one play, or I think it was a completion to Hopkins over the middle, where he releases the ball and it just goes right through DJ Reader's arms, and he released it kind of from the side. Like a little Aaron Rodgers-esque from Ryan Tannehill yesterday.
Stafford
good to see.
Type stuff.
Yeah.
Nah, he was good. I mean, he's since that opener, take out week three. I mean, he needs to play well on the road, which he's done plenty for this team, and I think this week is the week to get that going. But give him time, and he's been solid. And I feel like we're seeing incremental growth in this offense. Seems like obviously he and NWI have a great connection. He and Hopkins have quickly built a nice thing. So you get the tight ends a little bit more involved yesterday. Just the whole thing was working. It kept Cincinnati off balance, and you had balance. I mean, I wrote this. I think that was the most creative and dynamic Titans offensive performance since Arthur Smith was the OC.
I agree.
I mean, I am trying to think of the best days under Todd Downing. They had some good days. They didn't have many last year. But, in 2 years with Todd Downing, they had some good days. But I just thought that was one of those where you're like, who is the OC if you're just watching that game, And we know that Tim Kelly has had good success with quarterback performance, quarterback efficiency. It's a small sample size. But you watch yesterday and you can see where like Tannehill has a chance to have a really good year if you block for him.
So let's say they get healthy this week on the offensive line and Skoronski is able to come back and play. Obviously, you know where he's going to be. He's going to be one of your five starters. So he's going to be there. Petit Frere is eligible to return. So his suspension gets cut short, and he is eligible to play this week for the Titans if you want to. You have Dillard out there, Hubbard out there, which I think he's been good at times, a little bit rough at other times, much like the rest of the offensive line. What's your plan if you have Skoronski and Petit Frere back at your disposal this week if you're Vrabel? And whether it's this week or not, like what's the long-term plan of Petit Frere getting back in there and what that could look like for the Titans? How do you think they handle the offensive line with the unexpected news over the weekend of Petit Frere, the suspension being reduced and him being available for you this week against Indy?
I think it's just going to be Skoronski in for Radins at left guard. And I don't think Petit Frere is coming right in and taking Chris Hubbard's job. I could be wrong, but I don't think he's immediately coming in and just, oh, you're the right tackle again. I think he's the swing tackle, you know. Raiden's the swing guard, and Petit Frere's the swing tackle. And then if it gets real bad at left tackle and they're not building on this and it goes backward again, well, then you revisit that maybe with Petit Frere at left tackle. And maybe at some point he takes that job back. I don't think he immediately does it. So, yeah, my prediction for this week, part of which hinges on Skoronski being back, and I'm not sure that's happening, but – I think it would be the week one starting offensive line.
I'm really interested to see how they handle that because, I mean, part of the answer moving forward too, right? Not just this year, but as they continue to try to figure out what the offensive line looks like is what is Petit Frere? Like how much progress has he made from year one to year two? Can he eventually be somebody that you feel great about being a good starting right tackle in the league? Like, I don't think Hubbard's been bad. Like I think he's been decent out there. So, you know, I tend to agree with you. I don't know how much it's going to change this week, but I do think at some point this year you're going to have to figure out exactly what Petit Frere is because he's a big part of what they'll do and how you address the offensive line as you move forward. There's already a lot to address.
Yeah, you really hope that he's a young guy who's going to develop into a really good starting tackle for you. And I don't think last year gives the answer either way. I mean, it was an up and down rookie season. I think he came away from that thinking he could become that. So, I mean, in camp, I think he looked great, you know, but he also had limited reps and just a weird situation. They're trying to get everybody else ready. So, I think it would be good for the Titans if Petit Frere in pretty short order supplants Chris Hubbard as a right tackle. I just don't know that that's going to be the case. He's going to have to play well because I think Hubbard's been solid.
I got a texter that says, I think Chris Moore is better than Treylon Burks. Changed my mind. It's from a named texter on the text line.
33.5 yards per reception.
He's averaging a lot of yards per catch.
Yeah, what can I tell you? Chris Moore is a pro. He has taken advantage of every opportunity. I think the limit on the opportunities would probably argue against what you're saying there, right? But he's taking advantage of them. And also, he's a good special teams player. He went a heck of a tackle yesterday on, I think punt.
He did.
You know, but no, I mean, Treylon Burks has the talent to be a number one receiver in the NFL. Chris Moore is not better than Treylon Burks in terms of, you know, upside, in terms of talent, ability. But Burks has got to be available, and then he's got to produce.
I am interested to see what his availability looks like this week as you get through the week to get to Indy, because while the offense and the passing game looked good yesterday without him, I still think at some point he's going to have to be a big factor here. And here we are again, and I know, you know, sometimes things happen in the NFL and it's a contact sport and it is what it is, but you're talking about a year one of being injured and not being as productive as you hoped he would be. And so far this year, he's not been as productive as you hope he would be, and he's now injured. So at some point, that cycle has got to change for Treylon Burks. Like they got to find a way to get him on the field, keep him on the field, and make him productive when he is on the field. And so far, they're having a kind of a tough time doing that for whatever reason.
Yeah, and if you're him, you're looking out there and you're seeing NWI make plays every week and Chris Moore make big plays. And obviously there's Hopkins out there and Kyle Phillips is coming back. You know, I know Phillips is going to come in to play the slot, but the point being, right now this offense, it went functioning like it did yesterday. It's okay without you, you know. So if you're him, there should be some urgency out of that. If you're the Titans, I feel like you have the luxury of just making sure the knee is not a problem. And like Vrabel always says, let me quote him again. He's always like, someone asks like about 100%. He's like, it does not exist in this league once you start playing football. So I'm not saying Burks get back to 100%, but back to whatever it is where he can play effectively. I think you have the luxury of sitting him more if you need to. Because, yeah, at some point, I just don't see this team being what it wants to be without him being a pretty significant factor.
Right. And I thought it was encouraging yesterday that the offense looked as good as it did without him. I mean, that's a credit to Tim Kelly and the game plan and everything they were able to do. And like I said, when you run for 173 yards in the league, like it just elevates what you can do. It's such a game changer for your offense. So all that's encouraging, but I still look at it as, you know, they need him. Like they need him to come in and be a game-changing player. And he doesn't have to be their number one guy. Like, I think Hopkins can fill that role still, but they need Burks to come in and be kind of that, you know, deep play, deep threat guy, the guy that can take the ball after the catch and get some yards after the catch that way with it. I mean, it's been, even when he's been on the field, underwhelming from him so far this year, which has been disappointing to see, and now you got the injury on top of it. I'm hoping he's able to play on Sunday because they need him out there.
Yeah, Texas says, talent means nothing without results in regard to Burks. Yeah. I mean, he's had some results, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's done things on Sundays where you see it. It's not like it's just practice giving us the idea that Treylon Burks is talented. But, yeah, look, you got to produce. You got to be available. Got to produce. And I'm with you. I mean, I think a game like this, it would be a big boost to have him. In the meantime, if you got to throw it nine times NWI, well, it is a homecoming for NWI.
They could handle it.
Josh Wiley's from Cincinnati. Just took it to the Bengals. NWI going back to the Indy.
That's right. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 745. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
That was our first test where they kind of, you know, matched how we've been playing. And credit to them, they did a great job. It was like their Super Bowl tonight. So, congrats to them.
You are not him. You are not him.
No.
You are not him.
No, I'm not him. I'm just him.
No, you're an idiot.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. The Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, one of us ranting about something. So it was a beautiful time on Saturday night, Tennessee, South Carolina. You heard Spencer Rattler in the open there discussing, venting his frustrations after the game, calling that game the Super Bowl for Tennessee. Apparently the South Carolina game, now the Super Bowl for Tennessee, according to Spencer Rattler. So that was interesting to see on Saturday night. They were all over Spencer Rattler all game long, the pass rush. We talked last week about, you know, the key to the game, and I said, key of the game is the front four for Tennessee and whether or not they can get to Spencer Rattler. And boy, did they get to him on Saturday night, and what a difference that made in the game for the Vols. That's a big win for the Vols. I thought the offense operated at a pretty high level, pretty efficient level. They ran the ball extremely well in that game. They went 41-20 on Saturday night. But I will say, watching Shane Beamer squirm a little bit out there, Spencer Rattler talking after the game about it being Tennessee Super Bowl, I did enjoy it on Saturday night. It was an enjoyable experience.
Super Bowl in terms of like when the Super Bowl first started, it was kind of viewed as like this kind of goofy, weird exhibition, you know?
So.
And like back then, like even like bowl games were more like just rewards for teams. They weren't really like, you know, postseason games. It was just like, oh, go enjoy the Blue Bonnet Bowl.
Correct.
It's a nice time and you get some Texas barbecue. In that way, it's the Super Bowl. Yeah.
The Blue Bonnet Bowl. nice.
RIP Bluebonnet Bowl. Underrated bowl. Yeah, that was quite a comment from. I mean, it was obviously a guy who just got.
He's very frustrated.
And he's frustrated, but yes. I mean, the idea that this is the Vol Super Bowl, I mean, where does. Now, it was a revenge game, so there was more to it. And yes, emotion does play into football.
Turns out that made a little bit of a difference.
A result, the last time you played a team, or like three last times you played a team, let's talk Titans, Bengals. Yes, it does get talked about, and I think it can be a factor. But let's see, where on the important scale does South Carolina fall for the Vols? I mean, obviously, you go Bama, Georgia. Obviously, you go Florida.
Kentucky and Vanderbilt are over that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Kentucky – I mean, now, you know, Kentucky, by the way, would just thump Florida, make Florida look like what Florida is, which is not a good team.
It's amazing.
But that's the thing, too, is then the Vols will still go beat them because that's what they do. But then the Vols just lose to Florida, and they beat Kentucky. But by the way, remember when I know I'm going on a total tangent here, but remember when Kentucky could never beat Florida?
Yes.
They flipped that around.
Four out of six.
They flipped that around. Why can't the Vols, you know, why doesn't it change for the Vols?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I think you could make the case that, you know, you got your in-state rival Vanderbilt, you got Kentucky. So
they're down the pecking order.
Yeah, they're down there pretty far there, buddy. Again, good job. You know, killing them last year. I mean, you know, it's still amazing. I was looking at the box score from it last, or, you know, Saturday. I'm in the press box. I'm like, let's go back and look at these numbers. Like, my God.
It's pretty wild.
They had 10 drives where they tried to do anything. They had 6 seconds left in the first half, and they kneeled at the end of the game. So they had 12. They had 10 drives.
Yep.
They scored touchdowns on 9 of them. They had 3 and out and 9 touchdown drives.
It's pretty wild.
In the game. So from that perspective, there was a lot of emotion. It was a great atmosphere. It was terrible uniforms.
Uniforms are great.
Ugh. You really think those uniforms are great?
I do.
Ugh. Awful.
By the way, they play great in them. They've worn them twice, and they've kicked two people's butts in them.
Yeah. It looked, well, it's
keep putting
thing.
Them on.
It felt somewhat like that Kentucky game from a year ago with Levis unable to do anything. But, yeah, not quite their Super Bowl. What'd you think of that? I wrote about the DBs.
They played well.
Like, they actually looked good out there. I mean, Kamal Haddon, I didn't realize this, but he got booed before the game.
I did not
when
see
they
that.
Put his pick. So I've seen this since on Twitter.
Yeah.
But he actually had some key plays. But Wesley Walker might be the best safety play I've seen from a Tennessee safety in a long time.
Yeah.
In that particular game.
He looked really good in that game. Kamal Haddon gets the pick six. The story is the pass rush, right? I mean, they ended up with, what, they have 6 sacks in the game. So 6 sacks for Tennessee on Saturday. You know, other than one big run, I thought that was a really good game defensively for Tennessee. And that's really where they set the tone. Like the offense, they ran the ball extremely well. They ended up with 238 yards on the ground. Jalen Wright looked good. I mean, Dylan Sampson got some good touches in the game. You know, the passing offense was good. I thought Milton, for the most part, played well. And the funny part is, like, if you go box score searching, this is going to be one of, like, Milton's worst box scores of the year because he threw 2 picks. I thought he played pretty well in the game. Squirrel White made that crazy catch where he never saw the ball. It was really the big deep shot that they hit in the game.
Was interfered with badly.
And was badly interfered with, no call. 9 catches, 104 yards for him. I thought Milton looked pretty good offensively, but one thing that I was curious to see as to whether or not it would carry over did, and they played with tempo. Like they look like Tennessee offensively with their tempo once again. That's 2 weeks in a row that they've kind of looked that way, and it makes me think that they've figured some things out that way. And by the way, the offensive line looked a whole lot better with Cooper Mays coming in there for Tennessee.
Yeah, he makes a difference for sure. And they're it's a tough scheme to deal with. The run game's going to be there. Yeah, the pass game, I agree. You know, Milton got fooled on the one pick. I mean, you got to be able to see that. They changed it up right after the snap on him. The second pick, I like what
he
did. It
was the right read.
Yeah, just
underthrew it.
Weird that he underthrows anything, but yeah. And then, I mean, he only threw one pass downfield all night. You'd still like to see more of that, but it was fine. You know, is that going to be enough against the best teams on the schedule? I think you're going to have to go beyond what they do right now to have a chance. But their defense looks good. I expect them to come out and play well their next time out. They got some time to rest. a week off, and then Texas A&M, and then it's like, okay, now can you go on the road with that defense and tackle people? They just seem like they feed off the crowd and everything so much on that side of the ball, and yep. then they are not that same team away from home.
How good do you think James Pierce Jr. is?
He's very good.
I mean, he ends up with two sacks the other night. He looks like he could be a problem for people as they move forward.
He's a three-year college player, I think. I think so. I think he's a three-year college player. Yeah, he's – and they're left tackle. I mean, and that actually, I was watching that game. I was like, oh, this reminds me of Cleveland. Give that dude some help. He's got no chance against 27, you know. So, yeah, he's very good. And, you know, I mean, this is why I thought they'd kick Florida's butt, because they have Amari Thomas up there, and they'd be Barron's playing well as a veteran, and you've got Josephs and Pierce and all these guys, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work out that way. But most weeks, those guys should have the advantage.
Get the Brew McCoy injury in the game, so he's done for the year. I mean, they come out yesterday, the fracture / dislocation of the right ankle. So he's going to be done for the season. They're going to have to figure out how to adapt to that in his absence. Thornton didn't play in this game. He wasn't able to go. Doesn't sound like that's a long-term thing, so my guess is it's going to be like the three guys for the most part are going to be Squirrel White, Ramel Keaton, and Thornton when he's back and healthy. But Caleb Webb's gotten in there a couple times. Nimrod got in the other night, dropped one. That was disappointing.
Got to catch it.
Got to catch the ball so we can continue to have my dream alive of Nimrod touchdowns left and right. But this is going to be a challenge for Tennessee to see how they can overcome the loss of Brew McCoy.
Nimrod and Webb are more like Brew McCoy.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be in there. But, yeah, Thornton is a guy who – I mean, Thornton's got to take off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so fast. So that's going to be interesting. But those other two guys might fit what they want more. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Phil says, Tennessee sucks, and they're not good, and they're also the worst. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. The Goober did pull off one fake punt the other night, which I still, like, for the life of me, I can't figure out how this continues to work. Like, if you're playing them, do you not have to know that, like, hey, we're just going to prepare for the fake punt, and if we can't get any punt returns, so be it. But it boggles my mind how they continue to pull that off.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you could be in punt safe the whole game, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess. Yeah, I guess you could. That's the thing. Beamer ball, they do it all kinds of different things. That was a nice little pick play, you know, good throw from the punter.
A good throw.
You know, but when you see 17 out there, Leggett, their best player, that should be a little bit of an indication. In fact, I never followed this up. I meant to ask some of the South Carolina writers. Like, he's not normally on punt, right?
He's pretty good.
Oh, he's good. But yeah. Walker.
They did a good job.
Walker tackled him in the open field, including on a fourth down. Tremendous job.
The carry breakdown, Joe, ends up basically what it's been, which is Jalen Wright getting the lion's share of the carries, and then Jabari Small with the second most, and Dylan Sampson kind of bringing up the rear. Sampson's their second best back. Like, I think it needs to be Wright getting the most touches, then Sampson, and then Small. And no, it's not any disrespect to Small, but I just think Sampson's got a little bit more pop to him than Small does.
I mean, Sampson is electric. It's a great problem to have. If they could take one of those guys and make it a good player on the offensive line, or a good, you know, another good corner or something, that they'd trade. They make a trade right now. But I'm with you. I mean, the big thing with Sampson is pass pro.
Yep.
And so in certain situations, they just trust the other guys more. But you got to get him the ball in some way. You got to find ways to get him on the field, get him the ball.
Jalen Wright was hard to bring down Saturday
night. Oh, he's
hard to bring down.
He's a monster.
He's playing really very good. Well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' big win against Cincinnati yesterday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.